sharing Christ and sharing your faith in a way that I think will help. And I think it's something that any one of us, every one of us in the room can do, no matter where we're at, where we think we're at in our walk with God. If we have a relationship with Him, we're ready. So let's start with prayer. Father God, we come before You in Jesus' name. We lift You up, Father. You're the King of kings and Lord of lords, Jesus. You are the Son of the Most High God. You are who our hope and our faith, our eternal life rests in You, Father. We don't deny, we don't turn away, but we turn fully unto You, Father, and offer ourselves as a living sacrifice unto You, to offer ourselves and as a vessel of You and Your glory, Your honor to shine forth through our life, that people may see the good things that You do through us and be encouraged to want to know more and to follow after Jesus for themselves. Lord, we love You, we praise You, and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So servant evangelism. Okay, I had about four different things that could have been titled, but servant evangelism is one that finally came up that I left up there. So servant evangelism, another way to call it would be friendship evangelism or lifestyle evangelism. It has to do with the way you live your life, okay? And the way that we live is an impactful on the people around us. So before I jump too far ahead, how many of you have a tangible and personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Okay. Anybody can say, you know what, that's me. I believe on Jesus. I've committed and given my life to Him. He is my Savior. Okay. How many of you know somebody that possibly or probably doesn't have a relationship with Christ, but you'd like to see them in one? Okay. Most of us have someone, a coworker, a friend, family, somebody that, you know what, they just seem like they're kind of going down that wrong road. Okay. Well, this message this morning is going to be kind of twofold, two parts of it. Part is on service or serving others, okay, and it creates an atmosphere when we do that for evangelism, which is the other part. And evangelism, you know, basically at one point, I think Paul was talking to Timothy and said, do the work of an evangelist, okay, and if you look that up, he's saying, go preach the gospel, go and tell people what you know about me and about Jesus that he can then share. Okay, we're going to start with a scripture because many of you already know the basics for where I'm going with this. But how many of you know the scripture in Mark where he defines the Great Commission for us? Okay, it's in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, right? And he says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, right? Go preach it to every creature, okay? You can preach your dog if you want. I think that's included in that. All living things, but mainly preach to the people around you is what God was intending with that. Okay, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Okay, some of you probably also heard a quote that is similar to this that they attribute it to Francis, St. Francis, some call him. Okay, and they attribute the quote of this to him that goes, preach Jesus to everyone, and if necessary, use words. Okay, anybody heard that before? Okay, it's been around for a while. Okay, long time. But they say, the quote is, preach Jesus to everyone, and if necessary, use words. Okay, the implication is that preaching the gospel of Christ is something that can be done just as much or even more through your actions as it is through your words. Okay? When we're pastoring a church in Missoula, Montana, I got together with the other pastors on a regular basis. Every month we get together and broke bread together and prayed for one another. And we decided we would do some events and things together. And one of the things that we did is we put on a community-wide church service at the fairgrounds. It was in the summertime. It was a big event before the fair, I guess. And we brought in a guy named Lincoln Brewster. Okay, has anybody heard of Lincoln Brewster? Okay, he's been around for a while, singer, songwriter, and pastor. Okay, he does preach. And so we brought him in thinking that he would come in and minister the worship, lead our worship for that service, and then preach a message. And I, to this day, I mean, that's been many, many years, but to this day, I still remember the main point of his message. Okay, and his message, I don't want to quote him wrong, the main point of his message was good deeds lead to goodwill, which leads to good opportunities to share the gospel. Okay, now, good deeds has gotten a negative rap in the Christian world. Sometimes, you know, your eternal life is not based on good deeds. You know, it's not based on works, right? And so it kind of gets a negative rap, but he really pointed out that good deeds is still part of the gospel. It's still intended that you do the right things, right? You still do good things for people. You put other people ahead of yourself. You still esteem people highly, and you do the right things. And so his thought was that good deeds led to goodwill. Okay, now goodwill means that people have a good feeling about you. There's an atmosphere that is ready for them to actually believe or to receive what you're about to share with them. And so good deeds lead to goodwill, which leads to good opportunities to share the gospel. Okay, and in their case, they would do things. They would go into a ghetto community and build a park. Okay, and they would put the swing sets together and they would build it out. And by the time they would get done, of course, they're surrounded by kids that are there going, "What are you doing? Why are you building? What's going on?" And they had great opportunity. "Hey, we're building you guys a playground. Would you like to know more about why we're doing it?" And it created that atmosphere where they're able to share. And they told stories about people that came to know Jesus. And one guy ended up coming to the church, and they didn't recognize him at the church. So somebody finally asked him, why are you here?" And he said, "Well, somebody came and built a playground at our school, and I just wanted to come see what kind of people would actually do something like that." And the guy gives his life to Christ, and he gets saved. So it's just that kind of good deeds leads to goodwill, which leads to good opportunities. So this morning, as I share, I'm going to share some things, and we'll get to that goodwill part, but I want to share different approaches to evangelism, sharing the gospel, okay? They're going to go all the way from a bold and intentional one-on-one or maybe two-on-one, if you go with a friend, approach to just going up to a stranger, to things like crusades and revivals and tent meetings and places where maybe hundreds or even thousands of people get saved in one day. Okay, some of you guys know like Reinhard Bonnke and some of those guys preaching in Africa and other places. They will literally have 30 or 40,000 people show up at these rallies, sometimes even more than that. I think they broke a 500,000 mark on more than one occasion. And out of those, I mean, tens of thousands of people in a week's long of rallies are giving their life to Christ. That's a very powerful way to do it. And of course, signs and wonders and miracles and things are going along with that in those ministries. But somewhere in between, like those kind of revivals and the one-on-one, you know, getting somebody's face, preach the gospel, is what I would call lifestyle evangelism, okay? It is that place where the way that you live is a powerful enough influence to the people around you to the point that at some point they're going to approach you, okay, with at the very least a curious ear. They're wondering what makes you different, okay? They're watching you. They've noticed that, you know, when the foul jokes are being told at work, you kind of excuse yourself. They've noticed that, you know, you're not into gossip. They've noticed that there's just something a little different about you, and they kind of wonder about that, and at some point, they may come and ask you about it. At very best, they will come to you with the intention of personally coming to know the Savior that you personally know so well, okay? And they're going to want to know, how come you're always talking about God? How come you always ask if you can pray for me? And they begin to realize that you have a relationship with Jesus, a relationship with God, and so they want to actually come to find out, I want to know about this God that you have, okay? So first I want to start with the bold approach, as I call it. Okay, this is where you're just approaching somebody, probably a stranger, somebody that you haven't really spent much time even thinking about. All of a sudden, the moment is there and you just feel led to go and to do something. The bold approach is nothing short of intentional evangelism. Okay, some people, they do this all the time. They go door to door and knock on doors with the intention of, I want to lead this person to Christ, whoever's behind there. Some people hand out tracts. Okay, the little, we used to call them chick tracts because they were made by Chick Publishing Company. I think a lot of them still are, but they're chick tracts. It's not about a girl. It's a company. Their last name was Chick, I believe. But anyway, chick tracts, these little things, a little trifold, little brochures. A lot of them are made out of cartoons, things that had a simple message in it on evangelism, and you could use them as a door opening kind of thing. And so you would hand this to somebody, hey, can you read through this? I have a question for you. They'd read through it, and it gets to the end, and would you like to accept Christ as your Savior? And so handing out tracts is something. I did it a lot. I did it downtown on busy nights. I stood out in front of bars with a couple friends. We'd go handing out chick tracts and talking, trying to talk to people in busy communities. We went to parks if they were having you know, the craft fair or whatever at the park, and we would just walk along. My friend had the I Love Jesus t-shirt, And we would just walk along. I think I had one that said, he did this for you with the nails and the hands, you know. Anyway, and we'd just walk around handing out tracts, okay, to as many people as we could find. And here, God wants you to have this, and just kind of do it as we pass by. Schools and communities and University of Wyoming, we did it. We handed out tracts with business cards. And, you know, that one was kind of church outreach, trying to help the church kind of thing. And I'll explain that in a little bit. But with a bottle of water, it was a hot day kind of thing. It was like on the day when the kids were all moving into the dorms. And so we did a lot of different things for evangelism along that way. When I lived in Laramie for a while, several years, I didn't have a washer and dryer. So what does that mean? You go to a laundromat, okay? Where's a lot of people hang out for a good hour at a time? At a laundromat. And so I used that as an opportunity. And every week, I picked a different person that I was going to go and either ask if they were a Christian, get that conversation started, or I'd go and hand them a tract and then watch. Okay, and see what happened as they read through it. And then if they looked at me like they might want to talk, or if they threw it in the garbage, it kind of told me what direction to go from there. Okay, a lot of times I would just find people that were in a restaurant or someplace and just go up and ask them if I could talk to them for just a minute. And I remember more than once sitting down with young couples or people of college kids or whatever to say, hey, can I just sit down with you for a minute and visit with you about God and be able to start a conversation, okay? I did, with the tracts, I would leave them oftentimes in places where I knew people would find them, and then wait for them to read them and then start a conversation, okay? So in airplanes, okay, when you're flying around the country and you get on the airplane, there's always that little magazine that they give it, has all that cool stuff in it that's way too expensive to buy, but people always look through it anyway. So I would stick one in the top of that and wait for them, you know, wait for that moment that, oh, what's this? And they start reading and ask if they believed in Jesus or whatever, try to get a conversation going. Doctor's offices, waiting rooms, other places where you knew you were going to be for a while. You know, if somebody picked it up while you were there, great. And if they didn't, that's fine too. Somebody's going to find it at some point. And so that was just a way of trying to get that open door to open. Okay, the bold of approach to witnessing involves stepping out of your comfort zone, because not too many people are willing to do that kind of stuff. Okay, and it's engaging in an intentional conversation aimed at introducing someone to your Savior. Okay, a lot of young Christians really oftentimes are more bold with their faith because they just gave their life to Christ. This is all real and powerful right here and now. I just want to tell everybody. And that's why after I got saved, within the first 6 months, I think I led six druggy friends out of the drug world, and we all got baptized together in the whole nine yards, because I couldn't contain what had happened in my life. It was such a powerful transformation that I just couldn't avoid sharing that with other people. Okay, a couple of examples. One is a guy in Hardee's. Okay, my friend and I went to a Bible study, went every Friday night, Wednesday night and then a Friday night. But I remember on a Friday night, we were driving and we were going to go get some ice cream, which we did a lot. Okay, he liked to eat, so did I. So we'd go, and on the way there, we find a guy that's standing on the corner pretty close to a Hardee's. Okay, and he was homeless kind of guy, or I think he was holding a sign or doing something. Anyway, we picked him up and got him in a car with us, gave him a ride into the Hardee's and bought him supper. Shared Christ with him, told him all about the Savior, because what are you guys doing out? Well, we're just coming from Bible study. Let us tell you. And so we just began to share Jesus with him. And the guy received Jesus Christ right there in the restaurant. I literally gave him my own Bible, gave him my phone number. I wrote it in there, and my friend gave him his phone number as well and said, you know what, buddy, we want you to come. We'll meet you tomorrow. You know, we can come pick you up for church or whatever, and wanted to be able to give him a ride. And so we gave him that and led him to Christ right there in Hardee's. Okay, another guy in, anybody remember in Fort Collins, they used to have a place called the Bible Superstore. Some of you guys are not from around here. You guys probably remember it or might. But it was in a little mall. That's it, actually. The Bible Superstore was in a little mall in Fort Collins. It's not there anymore. Of course, online stuff, they didn't stay online well enough, soon enough, and they went out of business. But the Bible Superstore, there was a guy in there. I remember I had gone with a couple of friends or one friend. And we always went to the Bible Superstore and then went to Alfalfa's to eat the good foods that they had there. But anyway, as we're in the Bible Superstore, there's a guy in there, and he's kind of wandering up and down the same aisle that I am, looking at these books. And I said, oh, are you looking for a book on such and such? You know, it's carried a conversation. You figure in a Bible store that everybody in there saved, right? I mean, that was my thought. And so I said, oh, are you looking for a book on this or that? And he goes, no, I don't really know what I'm looking for. I'm just looking for something. And it started, and I picked up right away that he had something going on in his life. I said, man, what's going on? And so pretty soon he starts pouring out his life story to me and started telling me about all these things that are going on with his family. And I was like, you know what, man, I know the answer. I know the answer. His name is Jesus. And I said, let me introduce you to him. Let's go get something to eat. And so we went, same friend that liked to eat ice cream. We decided to go get something to eat. And so we went to a restaurant, shared Jesus with the guy in the restaurant. Okay, told him all about Jesus. The guy accepted Christ out in the parking lot out in front of the restaurant when we got done. Okay, he had shared, we had counseled him on his family, things that were going on. He wanted to go see his family, but he kind of didn't because he had all this unforgiveness and things. And so we had shared Jesus with him to the point he says, you know, if I can get home, I want to get home to see my family. We bought him a bus ticket, gave him a Bible, and sent him on his way. Okay, and he went back to his family with Jesus in his heart. Okay, that's pretty straightforward, but as guys we had never met, we just wanted to go and share Christ with somebody. I mean, that was our goal. Every time we went somewhere, is how can we influence the world for Jesus today? Okay, and I told you this, my friend, I loved his shirt. It had eye and a great big heart and said Jesus across the front. And he embarrassed people. If you weren't a Jesus freak, you were going to be embarrassed to hang out with the guy because he was bold with the gospel, and that's just the way that we ended up being when we hung out together. It kind of turned into a competition. I shouldn't say that, but we really wanted to outdo each other for Jesus kind of thing. Okay, that is bold evangelism. That's just walking up somebody you don't know, whipping out a Bible and sharing scriptures with somebody, taking them through the Romans road to salvation or something else, and sharing Jesus boldly. Okay, a much easier and more readily available way to do it. Okay, it doesn't involve tracts or anything else. Is simply friendship evangelism. It's getting to know people and letting them know you. Okay, you know, I don't know how long this message will go. I wrote enough. It's probably two sermons worth, so I tried to cut it down this morning. But I know I have a section in it on simply connecting with people that I don't think we're going to get to today. But I do want to tell you that that is important on connecting with people, finding out what it is in their life, something about somebody, some way that you can bless them. It won't cost you anything but a few seconds, usually, of your time. Okay, if you meet somebody and, you know, gosh, they're into baseball, and all of a sudden you're flipping through a magazine and you find something on the history of baseball in Time Magazine or whatever it is, and you're like, I could care less about baseball, but I know somebody that likes it. Rip that page out, and next time you see them, you just hand them that. It will touch a spot in their heart, okay, that will really melt their heart. Okay, just remember that. It's connecting with people. Find something that you can connect with them. Okay, so I asked earlier about how many of you had at least one person in your life that you think would like to be introduced to Jesus, or you would like to see them come to know Jesus. Well, that friend, that family member, that coworker, they are watching you every time that they're around you. Okay, and if you have not completely compromised your faith in Christ when you're around them, you are making an impact on them for Jesus. You are, in some ways, expressing who Jesus is to you by the way that you act when you're around them. Okay, I'll talk a little more on that in a minute. If you live out your faith, okay, and you don't compromise, because sometimes it's hard to not compromise. I know, I've been there. Not stupid. Okay, I know how tough it can be to not compromise your faith. How to be bold with the gospel no matter who's around you, okay? But there are times when we just simply need to live it out, and we're called to just be a Christian. Just be who you are. That means you don't give in to some of that stuff. You say, no thanks, I don't need that today, or you just kind of turn the other way and say, you know what, man, I got something I need to do, and you just excuse yourself from those kind of conversations. Okay, well, if you're living out your faith, they're going to notice that there's something a little bit different about you. Okay, they're going to be curious, and when the time is right, they're coming to you. Okay, I had a neighbor in Laramie when I lived in a duplex, and this old guy lived next to me, worked at Walmart, one of those guys, and he was a nice, friendly guy, but we hardly ever spoke. But he knew every Sunday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday nights, I'm coming and going, and so he knew I was going to church. He had figured that out. I always carried my Bible, and he had known I was a church guy. Well, when I think it was his brother that had gotten sick and was on the verge of death. Knock, knock, knock. Hey, my brother's really sick. Aren't you a religious man? And I said, yeah. And he said, can you just pray for my brother? And so I did. Okay, right there, just said, I'll agree with you right now. You pray with me. And I just grabbed him and said, let's pray right now. And so we prayed for his brother. His brother passed away later on, but it was still one of those moments that when people know you because of who you are, I didn't do anything to this guy. All I did was be me, okay? Yeah, I'd say hi to him. I'd shovel the snow out in front of his car because I was shoveling it out in front of mine anyway. I just was there, right? If I was changing oil in my car and he'd come home from work, you know, hey, man, I got the blocks up or got the ramps out. You know, I'm going to do yours too. Just make that offer, right? Because I could. You know, that's what I was doing and that's what I knew to do. And it was enough that when the time came, he knew who to go to. And I'm not saying that guy gave his life to Jesus. I don't know. But he at least got touched a little bit with the testimony of my Christian faith. Okay, a guy at work, I wanted to share a story about a guy. I'll call him Stephen because I didn't ask if I could share a story, although he wouldn't be upset. But a guy named Stephen, he was a great guy, one of those top, I call him a top drawer employee. Okay, I was the supervisor and I got to hire this guy, and the guy shows up 10 minutes early, shakes my hand and says, "How are you doing?" And through the course, I don't remember that statement, but during the course of the interview, I just remember him saying, "You know what, Mr. Gilbert, my job is going to be to make you look good. So you said, you empower me, you give me the tools to do it, and I will make you and this company look better than it ever has." Okay, and I'll never forget that. I thought, that's pretty bold, right? This guy, he lived it out. He was just that kind of guy that you would go to do something, he goes, "Oh, I got that." He called me Chief. He said, "I got that, Chief. I already did it." You know, I mean, he was just one of those guys. You guys might know what I'm talking about. He was a good guy. He was very confident, okay, in himself, very confident in his own abilities. Well, during the course of me being me, I had other employees as well. And some of them were not top notch. And so you had to work with them a lot and you had to coach them along a lot. And he heard my coaching. He heard the way that I dealt with people. He watched these interactions. One lady was a Christian and she had a son that had a disability. And she came into work distraught more often than not. She was emotional. So she cried, you know, a lot at work and those kind of things. And one day I remember sitting down with her and pulled her into my office. And this other guy, Stephen's office, was right around the corner. And so he could kind of hear the conversations. But she's like, "I just don't know what to do." And I just went the Jesus route. I said, "You know what? We just got to, let's pray for you. Let's build up your faith in Jesus. Let's just pray for your son right here and now." And we would pray right there in the office, me and this lady. And so he got to hear some of these interactions. Sylvester wasn't a Christian. He was just a, you know, confident guy. He just knew what he knew and he could do it. Well, he heard those kind of conversations, and over time, eventually the day came when he was having trouble with his wife, and his marriage was on the rocks, and he didn't know what to do, so he came to me and said, "Hey, Chief, what would you do in a situation like this? This is what's going on. I don't really know how to handle it." And I said, "Man, I'd go the Jesus route. That's the only answer I got. I would not be able to make it in my marriage without Jesus being the one that holds us together." I said, "A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Jesus has got to be there or you're going to struggle more in your relationships. Not that you'll never have trouble with Jesus, but you're going to make it through with Jesus so much better than you would if you didn't know him." And so I began to share that, and he wasn't real ready to make a decision or anything at that point. But a few weeks later, okay, he kind of made it through that. And a few weeks later, we're working late in the office one night. Working until 7 or 8 at night, and he comes into my office, and he's pretty sheepish. And he sat down, and he said, "Chief, I need to explain something to you." He said, I lied to you." And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I lied on my resume." He said, I don't have a bachelor's degree." He said, "I lied about that. And the job required it. The company, the corporate headquarters required a bachelor's degree." And he said, "I lied on my resume." And I said, "You know what? I said, at this point, it's between you and I. And I said, I'm going to tell you plainly, Jesus Christ has forgiven me of all my sin, anything I've ever done against him. And because of that, I forgive you. I don't have any ought against you. I'm not going to hold this against you." And I said, "And if you pray and ask God to forgive you, he will forgive you and wash you clean of all your sin, and you can start over with a new slate right here and now." Okay? We cried, we prayed, he received Christ that night in my office. Okay? It's just being there at the right time, being who I am, being just a Christian guy. I'm not Pastor Gary at this point. I'm just a Christian guy going to church, playing drums, playing music, and helping with the church stuff. And he knew that about me. He knew that Jesus was my go-to, and he came to me knowing that, you know what, he's probably going to point me to Jesus, but it's going to be okay. Okay? And so he received Christ right there in the restaurant. I mean, in my office. Okay? That was just one of those things that when you live your life out and you carry a Bible everywhere, you know, I started going to the sheriff's department on Monday mornings to pray with those guys. And one thing that I carry in, you know, they all carry their weapons, so I carry mine, right? And I remember the first day I sat it down on a table and they're all like looking like, oh, he's one of those guys because he's carrying a Bible. But you know what? That's my tool. That's my useful weapon of warfare, and that's what I want to have with me. And any moment comes up, I say, let me show you a scripture on that, or, you know, be able to say, hey, let's see if we can find something together, or somebody has a question, I can show them, slide it over and let them read it for themselves. Okay, well, that kind of stuff has been going on for most of my Christian life. We're just carrying a Bible, even if it's a pocket Bible or somewhere, you know, nowadays they got the fancy covers with the handles on it. You carry it like a briefcase, right? Okay, but doing that, listening to Christian music, okay, listening to it in your office or your car or wherever it is and not compromising on that. Okay, because many of you already do that. You're listening to it, but if somebody gets in that's from your office and they're not Christian, click, you know, you shut that thing off because you don't want to be embarrassed or feel that. I'm telling you, just that little bit of stuff, listening to Christian music is enough to influence the people around you. I shared a few weeks ago about the baseball crew and taking the kids to Gillette. Christian music, you know what? In fact, I even used worship on my phone on the Slacker radio and just listened to worship because that's the way I am. That's what I'm going to listen to while I'm driving. And so question comes up, you know, what kind of song is this? You know, well, this is Christian music. This is all I listen to. You don't listen to country? No. You don't listen to rock and roll? No. This is all you listen to? Yep. You know, and then just leave it. Okay, I don't have to go any more than that. Now he knows something about me, and when it comes down to it, that moment will come, and that time will be right, and he will come, and they will want to know. And those kids did exactly that. Okay, begin asking about testimony. Okay, one other testimony is I need to move this along, but I want to tell you about a gal. Her name, I'll call her Susan. Okay, at a hardware store. In a place that I worked as a part-time job. I had two jobs, and this was my part-time. And so I'm going to work every day at a hardware store and building things in the back. I was kind of the shelf guy and building the lawnmowers and putting a lot of stuff together. And she worked at one of the clerks at the station, and she noticed that there's something kind of odd about this guy, okay? And that I loved to talk about God, and that I would bring up Jesus in conversations, right? She pulled that up. That's not the hardware store, and that's not Susan, by the way, but she began to ask questions, okay? And she wanted to know, for one, I was carrying my Bible. And so I'd go outside and I would sit on the bench out behind the store. There was kind of a back parking lot, and I would sit back there and I'd read my Bible on my breaks. And so she had questions. Why do you read your Bible? Why would you do that? That just seems like something you do in church or something else. And I said, no. I said, because this is how God speaks to me. I said, God speaks to me through his word. And she said, well, I'm not real sure if I even believe in God, but if I do believe in God, he's never spoken to me, okay? And I said, here's what you need to do. I said, you go home 3 days in a row and you ask God to reveal himself to you. Ask God if he will show himself to you. And I said, nothing more. I said, you go and you do that, and I'm going to pray and talk to God about it, and I know that he is going to reveal himself to you within these 3 days. And I just had felt that quickening in my spirit that that's what I was supposed to say. And I did. And I told her that, and she said, oh, okay, well, maybe I can try that. So she leaves. A few days later, she shows back up at the work, and she says, first thing out of her mouth, Gary, you won't believe what's been happening in my life. And she started telling these stories and testimonies, and God was showing up in ways in her life that she could not deny. It was no longer like, maybe he's real, or maybe he is this. You know, this is real stuff. Tell me what you know. How did you get to this point? And so I asked her one day after that, a couple days later, I asked her if she wanted to go to the Subway that was down the street after work, because we worked till like 7 that night. And I said, why don't we go down and get something to eat, and I can talk to you a little bit. And so we did. I took my Bible right into the Subway store, laid it on the table between us, and said, let me explain to you some things about Jesus. Started telling her about the Savior. Started saying, here's how you go about it. I showed her Romans Road to Salvation. Okay, that this is what it says about all men of sin falling short of the glory of God. And then it says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I said, we got to put our faith in him. It's God's plan. And then I said, here's what it says, that if thou shalt confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, thou shalt be saved. She said, let's do it. So we prayed right there in Subway. Okay, she comes to church the next Sunday and then started coming every Sunday after that. She gave her life to Christ and began walking. We're still friends on Facebook, so I'm not using her real name because she'll probably figure out the story if she ever watches it. But She's still saved to this day, still a Christian, got married and has kids and a nice young lady. Okay, that stuff happens. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. He says, to sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready to give an answer. Be always ready to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, and do it with meekness and fear, reverence towards God. Okay? I never got smart alecky about sharing Jesus. I never got boastful that this is all about me and I'm better than you. It's all done in meekness and reverence to God because He did something I could not do. Let me tell you what He can do for you as well. Okay? It's just about pointing people in the right direction. The key is to always have an answer ready to give to every man because of the hope that is in you. Okay, why do you live the way you do? Why do you, you know, not do those things? Why do you listen to Christian music? Why? Why do you live differently? That hope came through, okay? The people knew about the hope that was in my heart because I wasn't shy about it. I just lived out my faith. Okay, without Jesus, I wouldn't be here. Okay, I believe that. Without Jesus, I'd be on my way to hell. Without Jesus, I would have an emptiness on the inside that could never be filled. I could try all the jobs and cars or money or women, whatever it was, and it would never have filled that void the way that Jesus did. Okay, I have an addicted personality, and so to be addicted, I want to be addicted to Jesus, right? Because it can't go wrong. I'm never going to have too much of Him, and yet I can always desire more and want more and get more. Okay, I have a hope in my heart, and it's not really that hard to let people know about it when you just live out your faith. That's just who you are. Okay, on top of that, or beyond friendship evangelism, that's just kind of people that you know. Then it goes more into like what I was saying with Lincoln Brewster, that goodwill leads to good deeds lead to goodwill, which leads to good opportunity. Okay, that's what I call servant evangelism. Okay, anybody ever heard of John Maxwell? Okay, he's a best-selling author, writer, pastor. Okay, he has taught leadership and leadership techniques and strategies all over the world. And in one of his books on leadership, he says, you cannot move people to action unless you first move them with emotion. The heart comes before the head. Okay. Now, he was not implying that you should try to bring people to an emotional decision for Christ. That's kind of what happens a lot of times at some of those big revivals and youth groups and things like that. The kid sees their friend putting their hand up that they want to receive Jesus. They don't want to be left out, so all the hands go up. We had one in one church that did an altar call at the end, and there was like 7 or 8 young people there, and the first couple of kids sincerely raised their hand, and pretty soon you see boop, 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 all these other hands go up because they all wanted to do it together. You know, it was just one of those are more of emotional decisions, and I'm not recommending those. John Maxwell was not implying that you should try to lead people to an emotional decision, but I think he was talking more about what Lincoln Brewster was talking about, that idea that goodwill leads to good opportunity. It's about doing things for somebody because you know that it needs done. It's something that you can do. God has called you to be a believer, to be a Christian, to be, you know, kind to your fellow man. Let's do those things. So you have some skills and abilities right now that God can use. This isn't something you need to build up, okay? You don't have to take up a new hobby and try to force yourself to engage in things that you don't really enjoy just so that you can try to engage with the lost. There are things, even if you're just a listener, okay? Even if that's your skill, is, you know what, I can just be quiet and let somebody talk to me for 10 minutes. That's a good skill to have. It's something that some people need. They like to talk. Most people like to talk about themselves. And if you want to go and just give somebody that opportunity for a few minutes, and that's something that you still have. Okay, you already know things. You're already doing things that could put you in the right place at the right time. Okay, you just have to maybe step out of your Christian box. Okay, and do some of those things in front of people who need to see and need to know and need to ask about the hope that is in you. And I'm talking about a Christian box because, you know what, if I'm going to go hunting, I want to go with Christians. You know why? Because I don't really want to go party and do all that stuff every night and then be hungover and try to get up and walk. I don't want to go through that, okay, and endure that. I've done it years and years gone by, okay. But in these days, I'd rather go with Christians. However, if I want to make an impact on somebody, I'm going to go with them, okay, and I'm just going to excuse myself from that, okay, and I did it a few years ago with a camp. A guy invited me I didn't know him real well, but he invited me to go along. And when we got there, he had two or three other guys who were all meeting there, and the other guys break out the booze. And it's like, hey, man. I'm like, no, man, no thanks. So I've been there, done that. I don't want to go down that road again. You know, I'm just walking a different walk these days. You know, I'm on track with Jesus. And I said, I'd rather go this route. But you guys go ahead, do whatever you need to do and whatever. And you know what? I got invited to go along again. Okay, by that guy. Maybe not the other guys, because they thought that was a little weird. But this guy, something clicked. He's like, there's something different about this guy. And I kind of want to know more. And he has stayed in my life to the point he kind of wants to ask, kind of asking questions. And hey, man, maybe you could pray for me, you know, because he knows that there's something that I do with God. He's got that in there. So that Christian box, okay, I'm going to give you some examples. You already go shooting or hunting with Christian brothers. I don't know if we got anybody in here. Clay's not here. Bill's not here. Some of the others. Okay, so try to go to the range with the guy from work that's always talking about the new guns he got. Okay, it's not too hard to do. Okay, you like to go out for coffee, so invite a lost friend once in a while. Okay, you like to listen. Invite somebody, just call them up, and just talk to them for a few minutes. Okay, you don't have to tell them what you're doing or why you're doing it. Okay, you like to work out at the rec center, so strike out a conversation with that person who's on a treadmill next to you. Hey, what do you, you know, are you on a mission? Find out something personal. Are you on a mission? Are you trying to lose weight for, you know, a wedding? Or, you know, what do you got going? And they'll have some reason. Okay, most people do, especially at a gym. They're there for a particular reason. Well, you know, for me, I remember, man, I got so buff. The biggest, strongest, toughest I ever was is after I got dumped by a girl. Okay, because what'd you do? You go, you know, you got to pump yourself up and make yourself feel good, get your confidence going again. Okay, and so there's a lot of that. That's a great opportunity to share with somebody. That's when I came to Christ, is when I had a broken heart. Okay, let me tell you another story. A guy named David. Okay, David was a good guy. We worked together in a place, a big company, but somehow we kind of connected. We had a similar type job, and so we just connected on a few occasions, and so we got to know each other a little bit. Okay, I ended up starting to hang around him, to the point that he told me about some of the things going on in his life. He, every year, drove a car for a doctor to North Dakota or back. Okay, and so the doctor had like a second home kind of thing, and he was from Laramie. We were living in Laramie. And he says, let's go, you know, here's his deal. He was going to take a bus for 3 days to North Dakota, get the car, and drive it back. He said, but I'm in a fix because I can't take that much time off work. I don't know what I'm going to do. I said, dude, I got a car. I'll drive you in North Dakota and drop you off at the car and come back. And we did. We drove all night long. Okay, drove for 24 hours straight or more, and I went and got the car, got back, and he was able to make it to work. He never forgot that somebody's willing to just kind of lay it down and go with him. And it was just something I could do. At the time I was single, didn't have, you know, I could take time off work. I just called the boss, said, hey, I need a day off, and he let me off, and we were able to go and to do that. Okay, I simply met a need that he had. And it started a lifelong connection with this guy. Okay, he had a boat and he was into fishing and didn't like fishing alone. So it was really easy for me to say, hey, I'll go with you. You know, it wasn't twisting my arm any, right? Okay, I didn't mind, so I could go with him. And so I got to hang out with him. But David wasn't the typical Christian guy that I would normally hang out with. Because I had two or three friends that liked to fish too. And we would go out and we'd fish together and all that stuff. But, you know, I knew there wasn't going to be drinking and all that stuff. It was a good environment. Okay, David was an alcoholic. Okay, and that's what made his relationship with me so unique. Is because he had a drinking problem. And at his wife's request, he would work three jobs because he wouldn't drink while he was at work. He didn't want to get in trouble that way, and so he stayed sober. So his wife said, you need to get a second job. And that wasn't enough, so we need to get a third job. And the guy's working three jobs, okay, literally working 18, 20 hours a day, okay, and then just sleeping for a few hours and get up and go to the next one, and that was his life. And occasionally he'd come up where one of the jobs or the other would have time off, so he would get a little bit more time, okay. Well, he was working so much that when his wife ended up getting pregnant, he had a pretty good idea it might not be his. And so questions stirred up, and this relationship started to get pretty rocky. Okay, and then once the baby was born, they went and had blood tests, and sure enough, it was not his. Okay, and it really tore the guy up. He got emotional and didn't know what to do. He actually basically didn't show up for work for about a week and just went on a binge and that kind of stuff. Well, one night, 2 o'clock in the morning, knock, 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 he knocks on my apartment door. And he knew that I was a Christian guy. He said, she kicked me out. She locked the door. She threw this duffel bag at me. It's all I got. And so all he had was one duffel bag, had like two changes of clothes in it, and that was all he had. So he shows up 2 o'clock in the morning, and I sat up with him all night long and just counseled him, said, man, here's what's going on. Here's how I would handle it. Okay, we went through a lot of scripture that night, but I remember one in particular showing him was out of Romans chapter 5. I showed him a scripture that says, as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Okay, Adam fell. Okay, and we all fell into this category of being a sinner. But by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And then I pointed him to Jesus as that one and said, he came to set you free. He came to give you that. Okay. And so I told him that, and I showed him some things about the love of God and told him that God loves you unconditionally. Okay. His wife had lots of stipulations on him, lots of things that if he didn't earn enough money, if he didn't quit drinking, if he didn't do these things. And I said, well, let me tell you about the guy that loves you no matter what. Okay, Jesus will always be there for you. But I also told him that he had a disease called sin and that he needed healed of that sin. He needed healed of that in order to walk on and for things to turn. Okay, well, David ended up, I let him sleep on my couch. He lived with me for several weeks. Okay, well, I didn't quit being me. First, I said, you know what, man, I don't have alcohol in the house. I used to have a big problem with it. I just don't want it around. He's like, I'm cool with that. I'm cool. No problem. Okay, so we didn't have alcohol in the house. I also listened to the Bible on tape and listened to worship music almost 24 hours a day. I didn't have a TV. Okay, I didn't have any other, you know, noise or stuff around. If I had anything going, it was just the Bible playing on tape, and it would flip over and play the other side. There's always two different books and those old tapes. But anyway, it was cassette tapes. Listening to that worship music, I left it on most of the time all night long just to let it be playing while I was sleeping and that kind of stuff. So this is the environment that this guy walks into. I told him that. Ended up, he gave his life to Christ one night. We sat down and went through Romans Road Salvation. It's my favorite. And just showed him that and said, you know what, here's Jesus. Here's what he did for you. If you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, Jesus Christ the Lord, thou shalt be saved. And so we did that. He ended up getting right with God. He had started going to a Catholic church. His parents were Catholic and all that stuff. And I said, you know what, if that's where you're most comfortable, he came to church with me, and it was kind of, you know, we had kind of a loud congregation and some of that stuff, just a little too much for him. And he said, you know, I think maybe I'll go with my mom back to that Catholic one a little bit. And I was still discipling him at home. And I said, you know what, man, that's great. He ended up going to church or mass every single morning at 7 a.m. He would get up and go to that because it was one time a day when he wasn't working. And he knew he could always make that. Even if he was just getting off work at 6 in the morning, he would just go down to the church and wait kind of thing. And so he started going, and he kept going and kept going and kept going. Okay, that's the story of David. One more story. You guys like stories? Amen. Got another gal to tell you about. She was another coworker to somebody I'd worked with. I had an office, and it happened to be right across from the staff bathrooms. Okay, well, every day I had Christian music playing in my office. Every day I had, printed a scripture and posted it on my door, and I changed it up either every day or every week, whichever kind of mood I was in. But I always put one on salvation or something that was up there. Okay, and so it was kind of that ministry that everybody in the whole building knew that, you know what, this is Gary. He's one of them religious nuts. You know, that's just all he thinks about. And so, but when times came that people had issues or times came that people needed prayer, they wanted somebody to care about them, they knew where to go. And so they'd kind of peek in around the corner and, hey, you busy? You know, well, I had that happen, and it was a gal. She said, you know what, my grandmother is going in for surgery. She's 94 years old, and she's scared. She's afraid she might die. And I was just wondering if you're kind of one of those guys, would you be willing to come and to pray with her? Okay, well, I did. And I went and prayed with her. Okay, and that 94-year-old lady, I went through Romans Road to Salvation, showed her in the scriptures, kind of read it out loud to her. I remember the staffers were there. She had like an in-home health and that kind of stuff, and they were there. I didn't care. I said, you know what, let me show you some things in the Bible here. You need to know this. She said, I asked if, do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? I do believe. And so we went through. She gave her life to Jesus, ended up having a surgery. Along with that, the grandmother had an old car. Okay, that had been sitting for a long time. This isn't a picture of the car, but it's kind of like that. You get the idea. That had been sitting for a long time, and the granddaughter said, I really want to be able to drive that car so I have to borrow rides all the time, but I don't have any, you know, means of fixing it. And I said, you know what? I'm a backyard mechanic. I said, how about if I fix that car, you just buy the parts and I'll do what I can when I can. And so I began to do that, and it had just been sitting for like 4 or 5 years, and so I just had changed out all the fluids, the water pump was out, and other stuff. And so I would just change the stuff right there in her driveway. But it gave that opportunity that while I'm underneath that car, a lot of times she would be sitting on the curb just talking to me, having conversation. And so the Jesus stuff just couldn't help but starting to come into conversations. And so later on, she said, "Why do you go to church? Why do you do that stuff?" And began to share that story and that testimony. Okay, you know, I don't know. We ended up having, she moved away. She went off to a hair cutting school, and so I never got to find out the end of that story, but I know for a fact that I planted seeds in her life that will grow to fruition. I just believe that. Okay, there's just things that you can do. This is called friendship evangelism, and it just comes from living a strong Christian life. It just comes from being who you are, okay, that people will want to know more about you. Okay, you know, I shared earlier, I was thinking during worship about why, when I said sometimes it's harder as a pastor, okay, to share with people than it is as a layperson. The difference is, as a pastor, as soon as they find out you're a pastor, they expect you to want to preach and to tell them stuff. But if it comes from somebody that's not a pastor, and that's why I was making such an impact on people, this is just who I am. I'm not a pastor. I'm not anything. I'm just love Jesus because he loves me. He saved me. This is my life. And it made that kind of an impact. So that's why I say there's a great, great way to do that. I better go past some of this. If you're, let me just end with this, but you know, when you're in relationships and you're at work or you're wherever you're at, that you're having conversation with people, you're at the rec center, you're at the coffee shop, you're at the store, wherever it is, and you have conversations, you have opportunity to either stand on your values, stand with your integrity, okay, stand for what you believe, or you can compromise. Okay, and my parting thought is that if you're going to compromise, okay, if you can't seem to stay strong enough, you join a group and you find yourself joining in with the group instead of being you in the group, okay, you're better off to hang out with your Christian brothers and sisters. Okay, be like they are, okay, rather than becoming like the crowd that you're trying to win to Jesus. Because if you're compromising, you're pointing them down the wrong road. You're saying, "I'm a Christian, but it's okay to do all this stuff anyway." I'm not saying we live perfect lives. We don't, okay? But we can still have our values. We can still, you know, maintain our integrity and believe what we believe to the point that it makes a difference. Okay, it's not just something that I can turn off and on. Okay, and I think for a lot of you guys, it's not that way either. This is who you are, and you're going to be who you are. And God created you to be that way. And God created you to be a light. Okay, the scriptures literally says, you know, let them see your good works. Okay. Let them see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Okay, do good. Not expecting anything in return. You just live as a believer, live as a Christian, and it impacts people. Okay, you're not doing it because you have to. Okay, you're doing it because it's just, you're compelled to. It's kind of hard who you are. Okay, but if you're going to compromise, just better off to just hang out with Christian folks, because then when you compromise, it's not going to be compromising. You know what I mean? You're just kind of blending in with your friends. Okay, stay in your box. Okay, but if you will simply be a Christian, okay, and you're going to maintain your faith, your devotion, your integrity, no matter who you're hanging around, you're just going to be who you are in Christ, you're going to influence people towards a personal relationship with Jesus. Okay, it just happens. Okay, and it's not forcing it, it's not making it happen, it's not that bold stuff where you're just targeting somebody and saying, "I'm going to lead you to Jesus today." Okay, and I've did that. Okay. All the tracts and all the stuff that I hand out, it is so much easier and more, I don't know what the word is, it just happens more often, okay, in a workplace or in just friendship and those kind of things than it does when you target people, okay? And I'm saying, you got people in your life, you know, maybe there is a minimal bit of targeting where you just say, "You know what, I'm going to invite, you know, Sarah to go today," you know, because you know that Sarah might want to know what you know, okay? And so you just take those opportunities, so. Praise God. I have more, but I think I'm going to stop right there. But praise God. Father, we love you. We're grateful, Father, that your word has given us life, Lord. We know that we have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, Father. We press into you and thank you. I pray for an empowerment for each one of us in here, Lord, that you have given us something in our life, some gift, some ability, some skill, ability, talent, whatever it is, Lord, that we can then put into motion and allow you to do things through us that will touch lives, that will change hearts, that will turn people from the world unto the truth of Jesus Christ and eternal life that is only available through you and through him. Father, we praise you for it. I thank you for your word. Thank you for life. Thank you for encouraging us and building us up in most holy faith. And Father, as we go forth, let us see the opportunities that you lay out before us, Lord, and just begin to step into and to take those opportunities and do what you call us to do. Father, we praise you, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.